Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my podcast partner, James Tapeleg Graylian from the Rink Podcast, talk about the Avalanche's 10-for-13 winning streak since our last show. We talk about Matt Duchene's knee injury, Ryan O'Reilly being a factor, Shane O'Brien being classy, and how you can be a little classier as a fan. Those topics and much more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 69 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. I'm very happy this podcast, joined by my happy podcast partner, James Tapeleg Graylian. Hi, James Tapeleg Graylian.
Hi, JV. How are you?
We are up early. We're chipper. We're happy.
You sound so perky for 8:30 in the morning, and I'm in Minnesota this time for this one. So it's actually it's 9:30, and I'm still not quite awake yet.
Oh, he's going to wake up throughout this show. You guys listen to episode number 68 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche, the most depressing Avalanche podcast in Avs Hockey Podcast history.
And, I had to be talked down from the ledge after that one.
Yeah, I know it was. We were depressed. As I mentioned in the notes that we do on Google Docs, we are not sponsored by Google Docs. Nobody really is, but outstanding stuff. You know, obviously the Avalanche listened to our show, every single one of them. They got depressed and frustrated knowing that we were depressed and frustrated, and they did something about it. Therefore, our show directly influences the manner in which the Colorado Avalanche play the game of hockey on the hockey rink, and then they score the hockey puck.
Of course it does. Absolutely. We are obviously a part of the Avalanche organization. Yes.
So when we say we mean that it's us all together. That's what our paycheck shows. No, we don't get paid by the Avalanche.
We don't get paid for this.
No. Since our last show, the Avalanche have won 10 of 13 games. It's the best they've looked in years, I guess. They've looked pretty good. Before we kind of get... Oh, James is from the Rink Podcast, by the way. I forgot to mention that. So check that out. I know he's going to update that as, you know, whenever he gets a chance. So James Tapeleg Graylian, Rink Podcast. There you go. what else? It's episode number 69 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. I couldn't find a preseason number. I was going to get in touch with Jory5280 about that, and... somebody during the preseason wore 69, but I couldn't find one. So, insert your own joke there.
I don't know if anybody, there are very few out there that wear 69 just in general. Yeah.
It takes some guts to wear 69. That's for sure. So,
but if you get a chance on there's this great hockey movie that's kind of almost ready for distribution. I saw it in the Denver Film Fest called Goon. And if you haven't heard of this movie, go look up the trailer. but the main character there does wear a 69. So maybe this is the Goon edition.
It could be the Goon edition. And what I'll do is I'll chop that. Maybe we can post the entire trailer for this show, or I can chop that just to show the part where James is talking about. What does the fan say? It's hilarious. Is that what he says or something like that? Yeah. All right. 69. So it is hilarious. As far as preseason gamers go, I believe I found a 70. So we're covered at least for a couple shows, and then 72, we'll have to find another one. So, all right. This is episode number 69 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche. Totally different team than what we've been used to earlier this year. Probably their best role, but then they lose one of their best players, and who would have known, you know, 3-4 games later, they're doing just as well. So in case you've been living under a rock or were buried by an avalanche.
I'm sorry, you said one of their best players right now, so you're saying that Ryan O'Reilly is actually injured and we don't know it?
Yeah, he got me there, I know. I talk all that stuff about Matt Duchene, and then, yeah, he doesn't hurt the team. But he had been struggling anyways, but now he has his knee injury suffered. Let's see. It was December 29th against the Coyotes. He's out for at least a month. I mean, I'd love to say that the team misses him sorely, but, you know, except for last night, 4-0 loss in St. Louis, they've been just fine. So I mean, go figure. What's your take on the Duchesne injury tape leg?
Well, I mean, it was obviously a strange injury. It was a very strange injury, actually.
Definitely was.
He kind of caught a rut, I guess. His skate didn't come up while he was turning enough, and it's almost Peter Forsberg-esque in a way, the way that his foot just stayed down, and as his leg twisted, and he pretty much blew out his own knee coming off of the boards. It's a strange injury, but you know, losing him for a month is not great, and yet at the same time, I think there could have been worse injuries. I'm not as bad. I don't feel like the team is going to miss him. Obviously, I mean, when you build your team around that guy being on your, I guess, first line, second line, they all kind of start blurring together so much right now with this team. It's hard to say that, you know, well, they're not going to miss him. They're going to miss him, and yet at the same time, I've been watching Duchesne a lot more lately. Especially after the last couple of after a couple of episodes when you and I talked about him, and how infrequently he passes the puck, for instance.
That's the best way to say it. Yeah,
yeah. He passes the puck on the power play. He does it. I thought he was getting a little bit better about passing in the last. You know, and you always want a player of his caliber to shoot, but at the same time. He would just try and dance around everybody. Well,
that's right.
We're going to see what the Avs look like without that.
I don't recall any time he's had a couple. He had one earlier in the year. I think it was to Kyle Quincy, where Quincy scored, but in the highlight reel in my head, I don't have a lot of highlight reels with the announcer saying what a pass by Duchesne. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing he's going to have to learn how to do. And it's one thing that Paul Stastny does all the time. So everybody out there knows the man crush I have on Paul Stastny. And again, last night, Adrian Dater rides him and says, you know, Paul Stastny needs to score more goals. But here's the thing I'm thinking about between last show and this show. We always talk about Stastny because everybody claims that he's overpaid. The thing about Stastny is, does his agent come, you know, to the table looking for an offer saying, well, here's the statistics and that's all I have for you? I mean, Paul Stastny brings so much more to this team between power play things, between being able to kill penalties, between making smart plays over and over and over. He doesn't get caught out of position, doesn't take a lot of dumb penalties. He's moving towards that leadership role. I don't know, you know, where the team will go after Milan Hayduk retires. But, I mean, when it comes to who makes this team better, if Stastny's out of the lineup and Duchesne's out of the lineup, which one would you rather have back? I'd have a hard time with somebody who says you have to have Duchesne on this team in order to play well with everything that Paul Stastny brings, even though it may not be all the goals that everybody thinks he should be scoring.
Yeah.
So I mean, Duchesne being out, it does hurt, but I really haven't pointed to a time, especially the way they played since, except for last night. I don't think he would have helped that much anyways. It just wasn't a good game where, boy, this game really needs Matt Duchesne. So hopefully when he comes back, he's ready to go, and we'll see. I want him to prove me wrong. I don't root against Matt Duchesne at all. There's players that I root against and I don't necessarily hate anybody, but I know Matt. I really root for Matt Duchesne to really come into his own and become kind of that more complete player rather than that one-sided offensive show that kind of got him where he is right now. So
Do you ever look at Matt Duchesne and kind of think that he looks a bit like Alex Ovechkin out there?
Yeah, I could go with that. I could go with that, but he doesn't hit like Ovechkin. But Ovechkin doesn't play defense, and I think Duchesne plays a little bit more defense. Everybody plays more defense than Ovechkin. I mean, when your old head coach makes fun of you because you do not play defense, that says something. But I can see that comparison making sense.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that as a pure, you know, talent to talent level. Like, you know, I'm not saying that on a scale, but watching Ovechkin and watching Duchesne, what I see is that fast start that I can float for a moment and then turn and get right off the line so fast, which is really impressive when that's what you need. I was watching Landeskog and one of the I should actually like have a notebook so I can write these things down sometimes during the game, but I can't remember which game it was. He was coming wide off the boards, right hand side. He's coming wide, and there's a defenseman, you know, right on him between the goal and him. He's on a breakaway. It's just a one on one, but he's being pushed wide. I'm thinking if he had that pivot that Matt Duchene had, he could stop and get away from the guy and buy himself a little bit of space. At least, you know, maybe get a better chance. Instead, he was just pushed off by the boards and right around the back of the net without any kind of chance of shooting.
Yeah.
And just because he's just in a line and that's it. Matt Duchene has that pivot, and that's where he's really dangerous. But there's an easy book on Matt Duchene. If you could stay tight on him and stay on that pivot, you're going to take away a lot of space, and he's not going to see the pass necessarily.
Very true. Very true. And we're going to have to see how things pan out when Matt Duchene returns to lineup in about, you know, hopefully 3 weeks, maybe even before, but we'll see. The guys that have stepped up big time, Ryan O'Reilly is an ongoing story with this team. He's the leading scorer. Whenever anybody brings up, most likely every team is going to be represented in the All-Star game. I was looking at the All-Star voting for forwards. I believe it was either all around. It was one of the, I can't remember, but I don't think there was any Avalanche within the top 50 as far as votes went. But there will be an Avalanche player at least nominated to the game. I mean, I think it's either going to be O'Reilly, Stastny, or Hajduk. And I don't think any Avalanche fan, really, or any fan that follows the game in particular at all, would be surprised if, I think, is Ryan O'Reilly, he's still 20. If 20-year-old Ryan O'Reilly is in the All-Star game this year, as far as how he's playing, as far as his takeaways, he's leading the league in takeaways, right up there with Pavel Datsyuk, who is a Selke Award nominee every single year. I mean, this kid has really stepped up his game. He's really been a factor. do you see what I did there?
Yeah, I caught that. I caught that.
Thank you. I've been playing
the Avs Hockey Podcast. Head. You're home for almost everything Fox News jokey related.
Yes. Did you see what I did there? But I mean, I've been impressed with Ryan O'Reilly. He's been a nice surprise, both ends of the ice. I think he's made Paul Stastny better on the faceoffs too. You look at these guys' numbers; they've both gotten way better as far as their faceoff wins, and it's not something that's looked at that often. But it, you know, unless you start losing them like crazy, but both of them would look great. And even you know, in between our last show and this show, there was a tweet by Brian Costello. He's the senior special sections editor at the Hockey News. I'm reading that off my screen, obviously. He said the Avalanche have a tough decision when the captain Hajduk moves on. Duchene, O'Reilly, and Landeskog are all brimming with leadership traits. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't agree with the entire tweet. I just don't see Duchene as captain material right now. I definitely see O'Reilly and Landeskog with those type of attributes. So, I mean, we'll see. But between Ryan O'Reilly and another guy, TJ Gagliardi has looked fantastic. And he was a healthy scratch a couple months ago for a fair amount of time. And
yeah, he was in the doghouse. But there wasn't it seemed like there wasn't a lot of room for O'Reilly, especially the way that he had played last season. It seemed like a holdover from really, you know, if all you're going to bring is what you brought last season, then maybe we don't have much room for you.
That's obviously changed. I mean, he's looked fantastic. Gagliardi's really stepped up his game, and it's allowed this team to be able to work through injuries like a Duchene, and the goaltending that they've had in the stretch that they've had since our last show has really allowed the team to blossom as well. And it's been kind of fun to watch. So, I mean,
I have to admit that I didn't quite see what everybody else was seeing last season with O'Reilly. I just didn't see, all I would hear is, oh, O'Reilly's doing great. O'Reilly's doing great. And I just look around and go, really? Is he doing that great? And it felt like he needed, he needed somebody to play with, and looks like he's found that in Landeskog, and possibly also being with Hajduk. And now with those two together, I feel like it's clicked a lot better for him.
And
he looked okay before, but I just wasn't seeing the great, wonderful. You know, I just wasn't seeing what I guess everybody else was seeing.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily even all the time playing with them. It's being able to play off the defense and the way the opposition needs to adjust to Landeskog's game, how the opposition needs to adjust to maybe even a TJ Gagliardi's game. I mean, it's a true team sport in the fact that you don't necessarily have to play on the same line as somebody. to be able to help them out as far as how the defense makes their adjustments. And that's the fun part with O'Reilly. He's been taking advantage of that. And you know, he's been playing outstanding on both ends of the ice. And it's been really, really good to see. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're kind of rolling. I mean, even Semyon Varlamov. I mean, he has that tough stretch. He has a back injury. Jiggy comes in, plays fantastic, and I know you wanted to talk about it a little bit. I mean, does it seem like getting rid of Jaguar, putting Varlamov back in, was that the right move or by Sacco, or is it just kind of? I know you know, make your point because you can say it way better than I can.
Well, I know a lot of people were upset about Jaguar being put back or being pulled essentially and replaced by Varlamov after Jaguar's great stretch. He even I believe it was right after a shutout that Jaguar pitched, or was it right after the Ducks game?
Yeah, it was after
the Ducks game.
Then it even happened back to back. You know, the last two games since, you know, as we record this. Mm-hmm. Jiggy has the 4-0 shutout and looks fantastic in Chicago, and then puts Varlamov back in. And well, we'll talk about that in a second. But keep going. Sorry.
But at the same time, you know, you have to do something. You have to you have two goaltenders on the bench, and you have two goaltenders for a reason. And you can only ride the hot hand for so long until you actually need the other guy. I was just when people were getting upset about putting Varlamov back in after Jaguar had a great stretch. Maybe it was just time. Even you have to be able to play both guys. If you can't play both guys, then you had better have somebody like Martin Brodeur about 5 years ago when he could successfully play a 70-game, 75-game season.
70 games, yep.
Yeah, and it's not, we don't, no, almost nobody has that. Martin Brodeur of today isn't Martin Brodeur of last, you know, of a couple of years ago. He has, you know, he has Papa John's pizza on speed dial now.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing pepperoni. To be,
yeah,
he's just pepperoni. Pizza box.
But yeah, and I wasn't as upset about it. I just thought maybe it's just time to get Varlamov back in the net. Maybe it's time to just give him that shot. Maybe this is just the time. And sure enough, Varlamov showed up and he did really well. A lot of people were blaming Varlamov. A lot of people were upset at Varlamov. And I think a lot of people are upset at Varlamov for the exact same reason that they get upset about Stastny. His stats aren't the best in the world, and he was pricey. It's a little different with goaltending, of course. You need the team in front of you. You need to get somebody some more experience and the like. I think it was a better move than people give Sacco credit for.
And you know, in the past couple months, well, especially the last stretch, I think I don't know, it's really back and forth. It's very dynamic. It always is when it comes to goaltending in Colorado. But he's looked good. He's given the team a chance to win. I mean, the game two games ago in LA against the Kings, the first 30 minutes, as Sacco would say, the team didn't even show up on time. This was Monday, January 2nd, when the Avalanche win 2-1 in the shootout. I mean, he was the only reason why that game was even close. And it was exciting to see that. He's making save after save. The Avalanche get a few breaks here and there, and that happens. It comes and goes in the game. But he gives his team a chance to win. He didn't necessarily steal a win, but he kept his game, he kept his team in it long enough to have O'Reilly score the late third period goal. And then the Avalanche win it in the shootout, which is just something you can assume, at least for right now, for a little bit. I mean, the move is looking a little bit better, and I don't think any coach likes more. You know, Ken Hitchcock is another one that we talked about in our last show too. I mean, between Halak and Brian Elliott, he has two, you know, willing and able goalies to put in at any point. It seems like the Avalanche have this right now too. Jaguar didn't look so great last night, but he kept the game from being about 8-0, and I'll give him credit for that. His defense was tired in front of him. They had the early injury to Eric Johnson where he misses most of the game. So you've got the Stefan Elliott's playing a little bit, well, actually way more than they, not that they should, but way more than they're used to. And, you know, it's just one of those things. So there are things they can build on from a 4-0 loss, although I prefer 4-0 wins. But it is nice having two able goaltenders that you can put in any time, and both of them will give you a chance to win. So, I mean, fire Sacco. Like, you know, get rid of him, whatever. But I haven't heard that for a little while, so he's definitely bought himself some time. But the Avalanche are looking respectable, and that's all we ever wanted. So,
yeah, my question is whether or not any move by Sacco, because of how bad things were going, if any move by Sacco, anything he does, is just going to be the wrong move in the fans' eyes. if we just pretty much moved on from, I guess, looking at Sacco with any kind of, I don't know, with that, with any kind of honest, open eyes at this point, or are we just upset, and that's it?
It's such a confusing issue, because what you end up having is they have the long streak right now. They've won 10 of 13. They've won 10 straight shootouts. They've won 18 of 19 shootouts, which nobody can even explain. But mm-hmm. I mean, they'll come back. They'll lose two or three in a row. It's going to happen. That's how the season goes. And then we'll go right back to get rid of Sacco. But I go back to Dater's piece that he wrote earlier this season, which I've talked about before, and says, you know, you can get rid of Sacco if you'd like to, but what about the Stastnys, who should probably produce a little bit more on the offensive end? What about the Kevin Porters, who isn't even the same player as he was last year? He's not even a factor. Is it the personnel? It's easy to blame the coach. It always is going to be that way, and we don't know enough about the entire situation to really know exactly what's going on. So we'll get back to the fire Sacco chance here as soon as the Avalanche cool off a little bit, but for right now, I got to give the team and Sacco a lot of credit. Right now, you're getting the quotes from the players as well. Well, we're really buying into the system, and it's easy to say that now when it could be the system that gets them into trouble a little bit later. But for right now, I'm happy. And
let me ask you something about this. You watched 24/7 on HBO.
Absolutely.
You saw so much personality from John Tortorella, from Peter Laviolette. And Laviolette, to me, was never, when he was coaching in Carolina, he never seemed that rambunctious. He never seemed that flamboyant. He never seemed that, you know, aggressive.
Right.
What would 24/7 Joe Sacco look like?
I've always wondered that, because I'm you know, those of us that have played on team sports, we know the difference that dynamic can make. But with mm-hmm. with Laviolette, you could see it. You could see his two faces, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. You could see his, you know, in between periods, my team is struggling, I'm gonna ream him, and then he gets in front of the press, and he has that kind of, you know, he has that mask that he puts on. And mm-hmm. I think Sacco might have a little. I think every hockey coach and every hockey player has that in them. There's what you have for your team, and then there's what you have for almost everybody else, especially for the press. I trust right now, because I've thought about this, that Sacco's got way more Laviolette in him. Tortorella, though, I mean, he is who he is. He doesn't like the press. He makes that very, very clear. But Laviolette, I think, is more of your quote-unquote traditional hockey coach, where he has whatever mask that needs to be put on, he does. They showed a little bit behind the scenes with the Avalanche fathers and mentors when they came on the road with the Avalanche earlier in the season, and Duchesne had his hat trick in Dallas. And mm-hmm. and you could see on the plane, Sacco had a little more, you know, personality. I think that's maybe a little bit of a show. I can't imagine him going in front of the team night in, night out, and talking like he does to the press, and the team even listening to him. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think Sacco has a little more Laviolette or Tortorella in him, or you think
I actually have absolutely no idea what he has in that personality department. When I look at teams when I look at coaches like Bruce Boudreau, like Randy Carlyle, why can't I think of the coach's name in Boston? Claude Julien?
Claude Giroux plays for the Philly. Okay,
Giroux is going. Giroux. That's the player in the Flyers, right?
Philly. Yeah, he's good. He's very good.
I can see Alain Vigneault from Vancouver. I see a lot of, you know, personality in those guys, or at least, you know, you get a sense of a little bit of what their coaching style is like. And Sacco, I don't get any kind of sense watching him on the bench, seeing him in the press, you know, any press scrums. He just seems so even keel. At least with Quenneville, you could peg what he was like and what he did and where those changes come from. Yeah, I know that sounds horrible. It sounds like, boy, what is this?
No, he might be smiling.
And sometimes it's like, wow, I don't even know what he is doing. What is he? Yeah. What choices is he making here?
I agree, because right when you start talking about Sacco the way you did, Quenneville pops into my head as well.
Mm-hmm.
Quenneville, I mean, Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Sacco's just really good at playing his cards close to the chest, and I can't remember the last time I saw him smile or joke, which is interesting too. So yeah. I don't know. I'm leaning more towards he's got way more than we ever see, and he just plays.
I hope so. It doesn't even look
that'd
like,
be good.
If he's playing his cards close to his chest, I don't even know if he has enough cards. That's I don't
is he
know.
Playing like go,
it's
go
so
fish
hard to peg exactly what he's doing. What his you right. know you watch Tampa Bay and you know what their system is. It's I mean it's trapping. There's right. a lot of trapping going on, but at the same time you know there's something going on. Sometimes I just don't even know what he's trying to accomplish. What Sacco is going for?
Yeah. I can't argue with that. And when you watch,
that's probably
the team,
not fair because I'm watching on the TV. I'm not there right. in the locker room. I'm not there at the media scrums, things like that. You know, and imagine true. In Denver, you know, with the Avalanche that we have a coach that doesn't really want to deal with the media much. Imagine that. How odd.
Ugh. Yeah, that's weird. That's so strange.
Yeah, never see that out of Colorado. They're so open and. I could go on that for a while, but I'm not.
I'm hearing you. Yeah, I don't know. And games like last night. Yeah, I was trying to come up with some hashtag spoiled Avs fans, you know, type things to post because I mean the team's gonna lose. It's gonna happen, mm-hmm. and they're gonna have games like they had last night. Last night was ugly, and it wasn't that fun to watch. You know, as exciting as it is to watch your team roll and to really look forward to watching the game, it was a big letdown, but we'll see what the team's made of Tuesday. I mean, the back-to-back games against Nashville are going to be real interesting. It'll give them a mm-hmm. good chance to see exactly where they are. But yeah, the system, it's I don't know what their brand of hockey is either. I mean, I know Sacco, you know, one thing the Avalanche are starting to get known for is hitting. They tend to out-hit their opponents. So between the speed and between, you know, hit everything that moves, I think Landeskog has really helped with that. But they're getting there. They're just it's hard to define your style when you've been as streaky as they've been, too. I mean, they had the 5-6-game road winning streak earlier in the year. They had a 4-game road streak going into last night or something like that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's they've been all over the place. I'd rather, and honestly, I'd rather almost have it this way and make a depressing podcast and then a happy podcast rather than just kind of blah the whole season. So mm-hmm. they've got it in them. And the thing is, you get hot at the right time, you pick up enough points, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, you make a run at the playoffs and you start playing well. With what I've seen, who knows what might happen rather than blah the whole year. And it's like, I'd rather, you know, not even tease us with any hot streaks or anything. Just let's just move on and get a good draft pick and go towards the future. So I don't know. We will see. Well, it's been interesting
with regards to hitting everything. How much of that is Landeskog? Obviously he's been a hitting machine, but also the retooled defense.
True.
Lyles was not exactly a hitter.
no, he yeah. was not.
Maybe more of a slapper, I guess. I don't know. and obviously Shattenkirk was, you know, he was not a hitter, even though he had, even though both of them were still good defensemen that, you know, were decent positionally, but more offensive defensemen. How much of this can be attributed to, you know, O'Brien, Hayda, things like that, you know, redoing that. Yeah.
Good point. No, I like it. And so they're getting known for that too. You see a lot more lopsided hits during any game than you used to. So at least they're playing a physical brand of hockey, slowing down the opposition that way and making things happen on that end of the ice. Speaking mm-hmm. of Shane O'Brien, I need to give him a ton of credit. He took a penalty in the Ducks game December 31st, I believe, was in the
good
first
good penalty
period.
To take there. Good job, O'Brien. Yeah, oh, wait, you meant something else. Sorry.
Those happened. Let me finish the story. but then the camera shows him in the penalty box clapping. He's standing and clapping in the penalty box during the first intermission.
I took a penalty. Yay.
Check me out, everyone. Standing ovation for me. But then I checked the game notes later on the Avalanche site, and they said, you know, between the first commercial break and when they dropped the puck coming back from commercial, I guess the Ducks honor military people in the audience that they invite to the games, and that was him clapping for a U.S. Marine that the Ducks were honoring. Super classy. I'm not quite sure if that's something you could really do on the bench. You could tap your stick, but since his gloves were off, maybe I think he had a scuffle with somebody. He stood up and clapped during that, which I thought was really, really cool. And I didn't find out the story later, but then I posted it. So, and, you know, even better, he's Canadian. So he's showing all kinds of class for a country that he's not even from. But I thought that was really neat. So credit to Shane O'Brien on a lot of different levels. I mean, between what he's brought, the kind of the edge on the back end, and you want to go ahead and take a swipe at Varley or Jiggy, you're going to hear from Shane O'Brien if he's on the ice. And I think all the fans appreciate that. And it's something that's been mm-hmm. missing from this team for a few seasons.
Yeah, no, he's been he's been probably one of the best of the new. He's been the best of the new acquired defensemen. I mean, it should be Johnson. We should be looking at Johnson and saying, well, of course he's the best one. He's a number one draft pick and all this, but that isn't the case.
Yeah, but Johnson's been a little better. He hasn't. I mean, at least for right now, you kind of gauge Johnson on how many mistakes he's making and the big turnovers that he's had. And he hasn't had quite as many. It hasn't had the bad passes where you're like, wow, what was that? Kyle Quincy had the bad turnover last night early in the game. The Blues scored, I believe, 3:20 into the first period, and that really changed the game. And that's something that I guess Eric Johnson has kind of been known for, at least earlier this year. But more lately, he's been solid. I mean, the team's been winning, so it's easier not to pick on him. But he's definitely been better. And Haida, you know, you brought him up. He's a minus 12, but he was like mm-hmm. a minus 15 or 16. And I know that's kind of an awkward stat. Sometimes it is what it is. But, I mean, he's minus 12, and it's been pretty steady there for a while. So he's been playing some solid hockey.
In the Minnesota Wild game, Haida got a goal. It was a great pass from O'Reilly to Haida that set up Haida, and Haida, you know, just jammed it in. And
that was nice.
It was hilarious because Mike Haynes and Peter McNabb didn't even mention Haida. They said his name once during the next, I don't know, minute and a half until they went to commercial break. There was the goal. Then, of course, you know, about the 45 yeah. seconds or so until the faceoff, and all they were talking about was Vander Gulick and O'Reilly. And then they're like, and Haida put in, and blah, blah, blah. O'Reilly, 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 O'Reilly. Yeah, I hate it, but yeah, until they came back from break, then they finally said, oh, yeah, and it was a good goal from Haida. It's like, wow, what did he do to piss you guys off? The guy finally gets a goal, and here we go. We're so unused to saying his name that we have to look up his number. Who was that exactly?
Yeah, or they realize, holy crap, Jan Haida scored a goal. Let's really ride this. You saw that, right? I wasn't seeing stuff. That was number 8, yes?
Oh, that was hilarious. I just thought, hey, and by the way, great. When we've kind of started playing a little game on Twitter, and very well done, Jay. Peter McNabb's That's What She Said's bingo. Oh my God. Peter McNabb has so many lately. It seems like it's really picked up how many euphemisms, accidental euphemisms he has lately.
It's great.
I was just looking at a couple of them. Quick in the right spot. That's the way to do it. Mike, shoot it head high. You know, this is just. I think he's trying too hard.
It's the game within the game that entertains us 12-year-olds in our heads, right?
Good hard work down low.
Low. That's right. Good hard work down low. Get you places, people. Thank you, Peter McNabb. He said something about it. This has been a hockey game third period. All right. As opposed he struggles. I know we struggle too. We have our moments. There's all kinds of stuff that you can say about us too. But it's just fun. We're doing it in fun. But yeah, hashtag McNabb's. That's what she says. And listen for him too. Keith has his.
That's McNabb with two B's, not one B. Two B's, right?
Yes. No, it's one B.
Is it just one B?
Yeah, I think it's one B.
Hashtags of both. We'll have to.
It's such a long hashtag. There's bound to be some things, but yeah, check that out when you see one. Go ahead and click on that hashtag on Twitter and see what other beautiful things you get.
Our buddy Chris Huffine had one. When they go down, getting that positioning right. Okay,
right. It's great. I mean, it's funny. So McNabb's. That's what she says. And Haynes has
still, it's still tame. It's still really tame compared to what I heard one time on Versus with John Van Beesbrook. Uh-huh. He had to be trying. He had to be trying for euphemism night and for a record that night. It was absolutely hilarious.
There you go. I'm trying to look for a couple more as we're kind of speaking here. I guess I could always whatever, but yeah, McNabb's, that's what she says. If you listen to him, there's really, you really can't have a bad game. I mean, it's, you listen for it and you, yeah. So,
well,
yeah,
the St. Louis Blues game, I only saw the last 5 minutes of it because I am stuck in the great white north of Minneapolis. And for some reason, it's very difficult to find a sports bar up here with the hockey package, which seems ridiculous to me.
That sounds weird. Yeah, that does sound strange.
So last night's game, we always talk about, well, everybody seems to talk about how spoiled Avs fans were because of how great we had it with the Hayduk era, or I'm sorry, the Hayduk era, the Rob Blake, the, you know, the Bork, the Cup era, Forsberg, Sakic, all of that. Speaking to games like last night's game, do you feel like Avs fans are particularly spoiled, or just when these kinds of games happen after great games like the 4-0 shutout win against the Blackhawks, do you feel like that taints how Avs fans see things, or how do you feel about these?
I did think about that last night, and that's why I was saying earlier, you know, spoiled Avs fan tweets or whatever. Games like that, I think it's both. Avalanche fans had been spoiled for over a decade, well over a decade, with Hall of Fame talent up and down the roster, and you know, you could basically count on the team making a deep in the playoffs. But yeah, right now, especially with the team, last night I decided to appreciate the way they had played throughout the stretch rather than worry about one game where they're, you know, a lot of turnovers, injuries. They're not getting a whole lot of calls either. I mean, there was a couple of calls that were iffy, and I understand, you know, I think that all evens out throughout the season. But it's tough to keep it in perspective when your team's getting rocked and they, you know, they give up that early goal, and that makes it even that much more difficult. But so I think it's both. I think it's the way the team had been playing and also the history. I guess our perspective is a little bit different in the fact that you can only follow so many people on Twitter and see what they're going to say and really get a good feel for it. But I mean, you go to the games and you get a good feel for it too. And Avs fans expect a lot, and sometimes you get it, and lately, most of the time, you don't get it. But I try to appreciate it more than I get frustrated by games last night. We'll see what the team does their next outing, and it's an 82-game season. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be good periods, good games, bad games. And as long as you can keep that in perspective, I think it doesn't get
quite. I wonder how much of it is that the Avs fans expect a lot versus how much we deserve a lot. I look at Columbus. If they don't expect a lot, but they deserve a lot at this point.
I agree.
Fan base that has been tormented by who knows what. They're a couple of years ago, they seemed to have built a team that looked really good. It was really good on paper. Still didn't go anywhere. They've had one playoff appearance and they were swept by the Red Wings. That's a fan base that deserves a lot. At this point, I feel like that just about every fan base deserves a lot. We're talking about players that are getting very well paid, that have grown up playing hockey, there's less holes in just about everybody's game than there used to be. Even from a decade ago, the broad paintbrush of talent that we see now is even higher than before. Maybe it's not that we expect a lot, but for what's out there on the ice, yeah, I think the fans kind of deserve a little better.
Yeah.
Than sometimes they get.
That sounds like a blog post, sir, on jerseys and hockey love. Could you put that into words? And I think that would make a fantastic
blog post. I barely put it into words just there. It was just
watch me struggle in print as well. No, I totally see your point though. And that's a great comparison with the Columbus fans and what they've had to go through. And it's all going to kind of play out. And I think the Avalanche organization is at a turning point right now. Which way it's going to go, we're going to see. But based on how they've been able to be streaky and how they've been able to put wins together, they have proven that they can win some games. So now it's kind of crunch time. And now they have a ton of games on the road. They have three. I mean, you have the 5 or 6 day break, or maybe not even that many days for a lot of teams, but for the All-Star break later this month. But the Avalanche have three home games in the entire month of January. And I think March isn't much better. They have a ton of road games. So we're going to see what this team is made of and whether they're going to continue along this path and what they'll do during the offseason, or whether they'll make trades at the deadline, or whether we'll stick with what we have because we know this is moving in the right direction. That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, and looking at last night's game also, I mean, just look at the standings. When was the last time that St. Louis was number two in the conference, was first in their division? That's been a long time. Maybe some of the expectations are that, well, it's just St. Louis. Well, these days, it's not St. Louis of old.
So. No, it's not. I mean, last night, for those of you that watched the game, that's a big, fast team that punishes you. And they have solid goaltending. I mean, that's a team you probably don't want to face. But then at the end of the night, I send out the tweet that makes everybody feel better. And I like I said, for those of you that follow me on Twitter, Avs Hockey Podcast, AVSHKY Podcast, James's Tape Lake. But I said, okay, the Blues have been in the NHL 20 years longer than the Colorado Avalanche. The cup standings are as follows. The Avalanche have 2, and the Blues have 0. As far as the Blues got in the playoffs was 2001. They ran into a team called the Colorado Avalanche, and they were beaten in 5 games with Joe Sakic's overtime winner to send them to the Stanley Cup Finals. So I could help myself feel better last night. Now, you lose 4-0 to, like, I don't know, say the Blackhawks or the Red Wings. I can't help with tweets like that. But last night, a feel-better tweet coming at you. So follow me. You'll feel better in emergencies and when it's needed. So let's see. What else we got here, James? Hey, if we were in town still together, you could totally touch my iPad if you would like to. I didn't mean to be disgusting. Angry.
You are a disgusting individual. How dare you?
For those of you, this is not a euphemism, friend. This is not a McNabb's. That's what she said. If you listen to
the last show. I was stunned at how many people would be like, hey, don't touch my stuff. I'm like,
and I think it was at some point I looked at you after I said that, and you had pointed at the little card that you have in front of you like you were going to cut that. I mean, it's a classic AHP moment. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. And there it is. And the other quote that I love from you, because I've listened to the show a couple times, because that's what I do when I walk my dog at times. My God, that man, when you're talking about Curtis Glencross and scoring every time he plays the Avalanche, great stuff. So, I mean, just some classic moments in the Avs Hockey Podcast. So, let's see. I want to cover one other thing. Chuck Kobusu scored since our last show, December 31st. Chuck Kobusu scored his 100th NHL goal, so congratulations to him. The interesting thing I saw, though, is that, you know, there's a kind of a scrum in front. The puck goes to him. He scores from like 3 feet away and puts the puck in. The Avalanche all kind of converge on Kobusu as every hockey team does in every goal. And it looks like nobody's going to get the puck. And Kobusu wants the puck. So you can very clearly see him talk to David Jones, who was right on his right, and he could kind of see him make eye contact and kind of be like, hey, Jonesy, look at me. Yeah, and I don't know what he said, but I'm sure he said, hey, will you go grab the puck for me? Because that's 100. Usually when it could, like, I'm sure I haven't seen the replay of a Ginla's 500th goal last night. Congratulations to him. Or Shane Doan's hat trick goal. I'm sure people go and rush and get that puck for them because it's such a big deal. But it was all relative.
Everybody knew that was again Liz. So even if a player hadn't rushed to gotten it, one of the linesmen would have gotten it.
Absolutely. Right. So it was just funny. All in, you know, it's all relative when it comes to that. Kobusu scores his 100th goal. Nobody, including his teammates, really cared, although it had been a few games. So the you know, McNabb and Haynes were able to talk it up a little bit. But it was just really interesting because a hockey player would never go grab their own puck. You actually have to have somebody go grab it for you. I just thought that was interesting. Little things that I noticed, but I just thought it was funny. And I would love to know what Kobusu told Jones. And the camera didn't stick on Jones long enough to know whether he did go get the puck, which I'm sure he did. But I don't know. I just thought that was funny. The little quirks that you see during the game every once in a while. That's why we love it. So
can we talk about Kobusu and McClement for a moment here?
Absolutely.
When they were brought into the team, and obviously McClement was through a trade, and Kobusu through free agency. I didn't quite see where these guys were going to fit, and part of why I didn't see where they were going to fit was because I didn't see what their overall what their thing was. Like with O'Reilly, you see what his niche is. You see what Duchesne, obviously,
their shtick, if you will, their shtick.
Well, yeah, exactly, and right. their active shtick.
That's right.
But they've been, I guess, decent third liners. Is it? What do you see from these guys? Do you see that there's much there, or is it just that they're kind of we need somebody in these slots?
I think the Avs have been just healthy enough to have them play their roles. What happens sometimes, like in the past couple seasons, especially that last season, you have so many injuries that you have guys playing where they never would when the team was healthy enough. Kobusu doesn't have to do more than he is really paid for in order to be decent. I think McClement's been way better because McClement does more. He kills penalties. But I think both of them have been pretty decent. A lot of people rode Kobusu coming in saying, oh, you know, he doesn't do this. Well, it's never been what he's done. But like I said, I care for McClement a little bit more because he brings a little more to the team. But I agree with you. I mean, they've been nice, I guess, surprises, but it's also a better hockey team. So I think people were basing those opinions on last year's hockey team with Johnson, with McClement, and then Kobusu coming in and saying, well, this team really needed McClement. They really needed a Kobusu, really needed a Johnson. Well, they did need a Johnson. They needed a Johnson. But anyways, I mean, it's been good to see that, and it's been good to see Jay McClement play as well as he has. I think he has 5 goals this year, and Kobusu's been somewhat solid. So it's been fun to watch because they've been able to do what they need to do rather than trying to play on the top two lines because they have, you know, 500 man games lost to injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll kind of see where they go from there. But it's been a nice surprise.
I never expected them to be like a top line, you know, first line, even second line, considering who's already slotted for those positions. But it's still, I don't know. I guess I just didn't see. You could see where even like David Jones fits in, where Winnick fits in.
Sure,
you know those guys who aren't necessarily. Maybe it speaks more to the one dimensionality of like a Matt Duchesne where he's got that he's less offensive, but at the same time that his offense is just so much better and that makes it stand out. Yeah. Kobusu and McClement, they just don't seem to have that thing. But still, McClement 6 goals, Kobusu 5 goals in 33 games.
Yeah.
I guess that's not bad.
It's hard to complain. And I just think the team is healthy enough so they can play what they're comfortable playing. They're not playing more than they should. They're not having to do more. They're not put in situations, and I'm not even saying top two lines, but they're just not put in. They're not put in on the power play to try and produce because they're the healthiest guys there. And it's, I wouldn't say they've been surprising, but I think they fit in better than everybody thought because they hadn't seen this team in action. I mean, Kobusu was one too. When they signed him, it's like, wow, that's really what this team needs right now. And he's been okay. And mm-hmm. and when he's healthy, he's just effective enough on a third or fourth line. When he gets his shifts, he does enough. And they've been pretty good. But when I say really, it reminds me of the fans that were sitting near you at the last game we were at. Really?
Really?
Really? Nice pass. Really?
You know, I kind of want to – I am frustrated sometimes with the Pepsi
Center. It's time for us to school you on how to be a better fan, James.
Everybody, we expect. We kind of have this expectation. You and I are in a way are super fans. You know, we do a podcast. We write about it. A lot of the people that we see tweet about it and care intensely about the sport and about the team and things like that. Right. I totally understand that we are not the normal average fan. At the same time, the last game I went to, I went with Chris Huffine, and on Twitter. You can find him at Huffy719. I think he's going to change it to
Yeah, yeah, for
he's going to change it to Doofus because, you know.
He's
going
to change it to CFL boy. All right, keep going.
He, we sat in the guys' night out section because, hey, you know, $20 ticket, you know, just to go. And, like, it was one of the worst fan experiences I've had at a game. It was just so – it was obnoxious. There was a family in front of us that when they would get back to their seat and the play was going on, they'd stand there for a while adjusting their coat, making sure that the seat was just right before sitting down. It's like, sit down. The play is on. Why are you – people behind us being obnoxious. I only heard one Tebow chant, which was amazing to me.
Nice.
In the game previous to that, I had a couple – you know, they were younger kids, so, you know, you obviously don't say anything about it, but the entire game, really is that what he's gonna do? Oh, how hard could it be, kid? It's really hard, trust me when I say it. It is a lot harder than it looks. My favorite was you know, that's the first thing that you learn in soccer. You don't pass where people aren't. You pass it to someone. Well, that this ain't soccer.
No, it's not. It's not basketball.
And as much as tired as I am of dump and chase hockey, I understand, kid, but you know, no, it's not.
That reminds me of the tripping penalty that you were telling me about too. I mean, you watched the replay. It was an obvious trip, but what was their explanation? Was it,
the guy next to me said it wasn't a trip because he didn't use his stick.
Right.
And then, you know, you don't have to use a stick just for that. And then he said, well, he didn't mean to. He didn't mean to do it.
There it is right there. He didn't mean to. It was totally coincidental.
Nobody means to.
yeah, that is true. So.
It was just a really strange hockey experience and Pepsi Center experience. Guys who you know, guys right in front of you, like if there's a breakaway down, they would just stand up in the, you know, during a breakaway because for no reason really. Yeah. And one of them's wearing a Quebec Nordiques jersey, and you're like, really? Come on, there's people behind you, and you obviously know there are, you know.
Or
so
not.
So guys night out, you could tell the guys night out people because they had shirts, special guys night out shirts, which was great.
Yes.
You know, you knew the doofuses, but we were sitting right in the middle of the doofuses. So
my explanation
sometimes you get what you pay for.
Helps wrap my head around the whole thing is people go to games for different reasons. Fans like Chris and you and I and all the people and Jory and all the people that we see at the games constantly and Scott Thurston and Scott Pantol, everybody, we're there for a little different reason than some other people who, you know, they're there for a different
reason. Just want a good time. Yeah,
exactly. And we know where that goes sometimes. And so, yeah. And I've seen a lot of that based on where we've been sitting the last few years. I don't see the same people over and over. I see maybe four people consistently that sit around us at the games, and everybody else I just don't ever see again. And I think that, you know, that lends itself to something too. That's part of an explanation where when, you know, back in the glory days when my dad and I used to go to the games, you see the same people there all the time. And we actually got to know them and they actually live close to us and we still see them around, but they don't go to the games anymore. And it's a different crowd for sure. And maybe someday the organization will get back to the point where, you know, season ticket holders is a very proud thing. And I don't know whether it's a third deck thing or what, but
yeah. Well, and you know, let's be 100% honest here. I'm being a snob. I am being a snob with this, and the Avs need more people at the rink. They need, you know, the more tickets they sell, the more maybe they can spend on salaries at some point. Still bottom of the barrel right now, but you know, I'm being a hockey snob, and these people probably don't deserve that, and they don't care what my opinion is about it. It's just, boy, I just think that there should be a little bit more. I don't know, maybe a little. I would love to see a little more hockey sense at the game. So if you're a listener to the show, take your buddy and school them, you know.
Yeah, there's
some
snobbery.
Let's get a fan initiative or something just to get these people to get better. I don't know. I know I'm going to sound snobby here, but better quality fans. Let's get better quality fans there so that we can have a better standard of hockey amongst us, amongst all of the fans. Teach the game to a few more people, and then that's going to drive even more fans there, and more people are going to love the Avs.
Yeah, I totally agree. In general, there's just not that many hardcore hockey fans. There's Avalanche fans. There's people that go to the Avalanche games and root for the Avalanche, but wouldn't watch any other game and appreciate it for what it is. But I totally agree. I mean, school your friends, do what you can, try not to be too snobby. But there's snobbery, and then there's just people being disrespectful. And standing up and taking your time while the puck's in play, that's disrespectful. And it's just not knowing the difference. So, you know, we would hope that the thing is, it's easy with hanging out with you. It's easy when I go with my dad. My dad and I have been going to professional hockey in Denver for over 25 years. So it's kind of old news, but it doesn't mean that we don't enjoy it any less than we did back then. We enjoy every single game, but it is discouraging sometimes to see that, to where people are coming to the game just to have a good time and the hockey is kind of secondary. So hopefully the things will turn to where, you know, we can get respect back in the game. That's, you know, and it makes me kind of compare in a sense to the Chicago fans, although, you know, Chicago's had hockey there for much longer than the Avalanche ever had, but they don't have to play music and tell people to get up and make noise and clap their hands and play little games. It's basically the organ, and the fans will get excited when the team scores the goal. And there's a ton of energy in the building, let alone, you know, 19,000-20,000 people there every single game. But it used to be like that in Avalanche too. It wasn't, they used to do that and it was that much more powerful, but you know, you'd hope that the team on the ice could win enough, draw the right people to where you don't have to entertain them and play songs and do the shtick during the game to get them excited about hockey. It's the hockey that takes care of that. And I definitely miss that, because I never need any more than an organ or really anything. I mean, there could be nothing in between puck drops. If the team's playing well, I'm going to be excited, but I'm definitely not.
That was a Javine. Right. That's what she said right there. I don't need anything what did more I say? Than an organ.
There you go. See, you just listen for them, and they naturally happen. It's just great that way. I love it. Love it.
Oh my God.
All right. So
here's the thing with the Avs, and here's the thing with hockey in general. This is the thing with everything media related that you're going to spend your money on, that you're going to spend your time on. And it's just kind of, we have this, there's the big shift of ever since the internet became more of an entertainment medium and things like that. People, there's more media out there. There's more ways for you to spend your time and attention. And of course, that's going to translate to money. So the Avalanche aren't just competing with the Broncos, and they're not competing with the Nuggets, and they aren't just competing with, you know, anything with the sports dollar. They're competing with everything. This is why people that flood the market with more media, with more, more opportunities to become involved, with more opportunities to get close to the game or whatever their thing is, a television show that puts out great websites with games or more content that they can keep your attention. And the Avalanche now, they're not competing with just sports dollars. They're competing with everything. And I want to see more fans there, and I want to see them win in this competition for the market and get the attention. But there's just more that they have to work against. And that's kind of like when we do things like this, this is more ways for an Avalanche fan to get involved with the team. There's our podcast. There's the Two Guys, One Puck podcast from the Avalanche Guild. Even Dater's podcast. These are just all the blogs. These are just more ways for fans to get more involved. And I wish that the Avs had that more. I wish that we had more outlets for that also, that didn't just involve going to the game and playing the Price is Right game, or do you want what's behind the door or the curtain? Yeah, there's should be more than that, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're either going to learn the hard way, or things are changing quickly, and things have changed with the organization, and things are changing with access. And I'm always very curious to see how the team deals with that. And they're working on it. I have to give them credit on their Twitter account as far as them getting followers, as far as them changing really what Twitter's about. I've really enjoyed enough play by play where it's meaningful. The facts in between periods, the facts in between games. And you really don't have to have much more than that. And they've done a good job. They've made some adjustments on that end, and that means a lot to us fans, but that doesn't mean that it's fixed necessarily and that they don't have anything else to work on. So hopefully I would like to trust that they're always thinking about ways to be able to make the fan experience more effective, better, and you know, things like that. So
yeah, they have done a lot better job, and they actually have a scheme, which is nice. You know that when they put up a player's name, it's going to be, you know, here's some facts about him, or, you know, like, here's what's going on, sure, in the, you know, how many face-offs somebody's won. Or sometimes it's a little bit happy slappy still. It's still, sure, a little, you know, we're it's the greatest team ever. Yeah, but it is the official Avs feed. Of course it's going to be, you know, of course there's homers.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to promote the team rather than say, well, this wasn't so good.
Yeah. And who knows? I've always thought, who knows how stretched that person is. Is this a person that works for Kroenke that needs to do Twitter for the Nuggets, for the Avalanche, for, you know, whoever else he or she is asked to do? So you assume sometimes that people have enough time on their hands to make things happen on a big scale, and that may not necessarily be the case as well. So James is live tweeting. James is live tweeting during this podcast. I mean, folks, we've got you covered right here. This is
live tweeting the podcast. Get involved now. Oh wait, yeah,
that's right. That's right. Live tweet during our podcast. So,
well, it's nice to see that, you know, a lot of teams are taking obviously the social media more seriously. You know, not everyone is going to be like, let's say, Nashville, where they have where they literally have a bloggers press row that is a lot more open than, let's say, the New York Islanders and their blog box, which seem more, as long as you're a homer, you're okay with us. You know, the right. Nashville Predators allow, basically treat people like press, rather treat the bloggers like press rather than treating them like, well, you're here to just to promote us.
Right.
Washington DC is the same way, but it's nice to also see a few more organizations and teams take the social media and the contacts, with the fans seriously enough that they will have somebody do it rather than just, we're going to kick this to an intern.
Yeah. I mean, it's evolving, and I'm very curious. The reason I started my show and the reason I teamed up with you was never to get attention from the team. It was just to help people stay more informed about their favorite NHL team. And I think what we do makes that very clear. And I don't think our goal is ever going to be anything different than that. You know, how the team reacts to that, we really can't control, and we'll have to see how the whole thing plays out and how things evolve. Cause I'm always interested about, okay, what's going to change from this year to next year, and what's going to happen? Are they going to do something like a Nashville does, or do they do something different, or do they just, you know, I know my sister works very closely with the Colorado Rapids, which is the major professional soccer league team here. And she was talking to their PR people saying, we would love some of our fans to put on a podcast, and we would do whatever we could to help them, you know, make that happen. So you can embrace it. You can be, you know, so busy that you don't have time for it or whatever, but just the little things make a big difference. And when the Avalanche follows you, that's a statement saying that we appreciate what you do. And different teams have different approaches, and that's about all I can say about that. So we'll kind of see how it evolves over time.
The Avalanche, they don't follow me.
No, that makes you sad. I know. I mean, they don't interact with, they interacted early, and now they don't interact as much with the fans, but doesn't mean that we don't appreciate
it. I'm not going to get one of the KYGO puck packs for only $98.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah, there's a spiel of pretty much every game. So yeah, help yourself to all those deals. So
yeah, there is. Hey, you know what? There is a deal every game, and it's not. Hockey doesn't have that much walk up. It doesn't seem. That's.
It depends on where you are, but yeah, definitely here. I don't think there's a whole lot at all.
I'm sure that I bet the baseball games get a lot more walk up, especially because it's right, you know, the baseball stadium's right in the heart of Lodo, right around all the bars, and you can just say, well, let's just go to the game and this and that. It's absolutely. It's not like it's way out of the way. It's not like the Avalanche have the stadium so far out, like let's say the Ottawa Senators do, where it's like 20 minutes out of town. But still, there isn't a lot of walk up. It's just not that kind of deal.
It's baseball is a little different in the fact that it has a little more tradition. It's way slower. It's warm out. I mean, a lot of people aren't going to view going to a hockey game as pleasurable when it's cold in the arena and things like that. I know you and I will, but that's more snobbery. You are correct. I mean, they get a lot more walk up to where, hey, you just want to go to the, you want to go to the game. I mean, ticket prices have a lot to do with that too. And, and you know, hockey's not near as affordable, obviously, as a baseball game where you can get a ticket for a couple bucks and be just
not this
fine.
Level. Nope.
Exactly. So,
although I will say that, that Winnipeg game was really well sold.
And that's what happens
Lightning
when
game was really well sold.
When the team wins, yeah. People show up, and that's I think what we were seeing for a while. And the Avalanche had won, you know, had lost so much, but I think they're 9-1 in their last 10 home games at home. And, and there was that time earlier in the year where they had only won 5 or 6 regulation wins in their last 60 games or 50 games or whatever. And things have changed a little bit. And I would hope that the organization takes that seriously the timing sucks because the Avalanche start playing great at home and then they have 3 home games in the entire month of January. But people started to show up, and that's always fun to see against, you know, and against the Lightning, I wasn't expecting a very good crowd. It's kind of like a Phoenix crowd where the only fans of the Lightning for the most part and the Coyotes are in their home cities. And I wasn't expecting to see a whole lot of people, but there was a lot of people there, you know, excited about hockey, and it was a loud building, and that makes a difference. So hopefully that's a trend that keeps on going.
Oh yeah. No, I saw a game, on my drive up to Minneapolis. I stopped in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for a junior hockey game, the Sioux Falls Stampede versus the Omaha Lancers.
Oh yeah.
Paul Stastny played for the Lancers.
Paul Stastny's Omaha Lancers. They were the River City Lancers at that point. They were the River City Lancers for a couple years, 2003, 2004, and I think 02, 03 before that, and then they became the Omaha Lancers.
Brad Malone played for Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
So
some history.
Yeah, it was like former Av team versus former Av team. But it was 1,900 people at the game.
That's great.
And my ticket, I think, cost, I think it was like a $12 ticket, and it was great seat, and possibly just the lamest presentation I've ever seen. It was just, they had the video board had a stampede of buffalo that, you know, that was their big video. Ooh, we're going to start the game, and none of their legs moved. It's like the worst CGI I've ever seen.
That's great.
But you know, if what we get at the Avs game, you know, sometimes I'm bored by it, but at least it's nice to be slightly spoiled in that respect that, you know,
that's true.
They'll try something. They'll do something at least.
That's right. Hey, I agree. All right. I think that's it. Do you have anything else there? Mr. Tate?
No, I think I had enough. I think I had enough tangents right there.
That's what we do.
That was
we
not a tangents. Great tangent. Yeah, you're just there. What was the point of that, James? Exactly. I don't know. I just thought.
Yeah, it's that's what we do.
This is what happens when we don't map out completely 100% what's going to happen. It just, you know, what do you want? Well, we'll see where it takes us. Well, where'd it take us? Ah, James, that was bad.
At least we're classy. You know, there's professional and classy. Bam, right there. So. All right, we always leave you better than where you started. That's what she said. All right. All right, James Tate Blake Graylian is going to begin to unwind our podcast by telling you all the places you can find the Avs.
We got to get
podcast.
You to do this again sometime.
I handed it off to you because you're so great at it, and I always fumble with it, and then you made fun of me. Yes?
Yeah. No?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, of course I do.
All right. Maybe we'll, or if we get more organized, we can do that. I got to practice before a show that we do that. So you got to give me, you know, some notice so I can at least try it a couple times. I don't know, but
I'll do what I can.
All right.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. You can leave a few comments if you want. We've been getting a couple comments on some of the podcasts. We do appreciate that. You can find a link to Jay's Twitter account, which is AVSHKY podcast, and find a link to Jay's Avs Hockey Podcast fan Facebook fan page. I almost said fan book face page. It's your face page. Put a page
they
on your face.
Either way.
And there's a lot of updates there. As soon as Jay finds out who the starting goaltender is or scratches or just conversation, he loves to put links up to really, really ugly jerseys, that are for sale to warn you off or just at least go, hey, look at this. So facebook.com, search Avs Hockey Podcast or follow the link at avshockeypodcast.com. There's also a link up there to, some shirts that we made, curse word. You'll sometimes see people throw up a curse word on Twitter after a bad play. That's why. So I have one. Jay doesn't. I love my curse word shirt.
I got to get my gear. That's right.
One day you'll get your gear. Yeah. And let's see what else. You can follow me on Twitter at tapeleg, TAPELEG. I have a blog called jerseysandhockeylove.com where I even put up some pictures from that game that I recently saw. And trying to get back in the swing of my other podcast, The Rink Podcast, www.rinkpodcast.com. I think that's everything.
Right on. You did great. I just want to thank Goalie505 who left us a 5-star customer review. Customers like they're paying for it. But on December 22nd, Goalie505 on iTunes left some nice words for us and a 5-star rating. So those of you that get our podcast on iTunes, if you get a couple minutes, log in, leave a rating and also leave a comment. When life starts getting rough for me and I start feeling down about myself or the Avalanche, I do two things. One, I go to eBay and I read my feedback because it's 100%. And then I go to the customer reviews on iTunes to help me feel better about life. How's that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great. And you know, the thing with the reviews on iTunes is that it helps other people find the podcast. It, not to get too crazy about it, but the way that, iTunes ranks things and makes their searches available and all. A lot of it has to do with the ratings and reviews. So if you go and put a review in, you don't have to kiss up to us or anything. We're not asking for that. But if you do have a moment to review the show, and that just helps other people find it as well.
Absolutely. We would really appreciate it if you just take a couple of moments to do that. And also, it's not a big deal to most people, and I talked about this a while ago, and it was, I think the number was 5,000, but I think between this show and next show, and probably when we post this podcast, I'll go over 10, James and I will go over 10,000 visits to abshockeypodcast.com, and that's really cool. And we're near, 12, 13,000 downloads for the show. And, yeah. And you know, you guys who listen religiously and you know, interact with us either on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, if you guys weren't there, I don't think we'd keep doing this. So just want to say thank you very much. You know, just start off the new year right. Happy New Year to all you guys. And thanks so much for your support, because without you and without knowing that you're listening, whether you're downloading it or interacting with us on Facebook or Twitter or leaving comments on iTunes and things like that, you know, it's good to know that you're listening and liking what you're hearing. So thank you very much. We definitely appreciate it. But
absolutely.
Yeah, other than that, that's about it for episode number 69 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for
it's
almost
hilarious.
Everything. It's hilarious. Yeah, check out. I will post either a snippet of the Goon movie trailer, or I'll post the whole thing and just tell you where the good part is. It's only a couple minutes, but check that out. That'll be on the post along with all kinds of other things that you'll need. And that's about it. So, James, as always, thanks for getting up early. Sorry we weren't able to do a show together again while you're in town, but when you're in town again, we'll definitely do our best to make that happen. There's nothing better than in-person podcasting with James. And I know right now it sounds like we're sitting next to each other, but we're not even close. So
no way.
Thanks for getting up, James.
I will try not to. I'm glad. I'm sorry I couldn't touch your iPad like last time.
That's right. You can touch it next time we're in town together. Okay. I promise you can. And I won't yell at you.
That just sounds filthy.
That's right. But hey, thanks for getting up early. Appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. All right, man. And for everybody else, thank you once again. We appreciate it. And until next time, I hope the Avs keep this rolling, because it is fun making good podcasts rather than crying on the microphone. But take care. Let's go, Avs. And James and I will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See you.